Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. Hey friends, thanks for joining me for part two with Clint and Jennifer Clifton. Now, they shared with us last time that an adoption that was supposed to take 2 years ended up being a 9-year process. So how do we stay faithful and continue to trust in the midst of such delays? Well, hang on, because I think you'll be deeply encouraged today as you hear the Cliftons continue sharing their relentless pursuit of adoption. Man, you know, Clint and Jennifer, going to a communist country, going to another country where it was unstable, you know, the government wasn't stable, you didn't know, but you meet the kindest people just trying to do the best for these kids where God has placed them. I think of Dr. Sagai in Ethiopia, just a godly man, and he was just trying his best to protect his nation's children, you know, and it was such a... You know, and even the caregivers, and when we went to China, they really, I met some not so great ones, and then I met some that were just really trying to take care of as many babies as they could. And like you said, the Lord was just allowing me to have a small part in it, you know, so that these children could be cared for and nurtured. They didn't belong to us. You're absolutely right. But I found it a very humbling experience. And man, it just taught me a great dependence on the Lord. And it also taught me the Lord's got it. And I've just got to stay close enough to Him and trust Him enough as my Father, as my sovereign Lord, that He is working out the details. And then the results are what they are, you know? We're not promised that it's all going to work out. I think you guys had some experience with that as well, because you were pursuing two in Haiti. We've pursued kids too that the Lord just said, no, they're not coming home to you. That's just a great point, and I'm glad that you made that. What did, like leaving Haiti, how long did you think you were bringing home two, and then you realized you were the Lord was letting you bring home Bettina and not John?
The how long, I don't know if I could tell you exactly when that was, but it was approximately 2 years before Bettina ultimately did come home, mm-hmm. that we found out that John couldn't come. It was a complicated turn of events. Actually, we explain more of it on another podcast, if I can make a plug for,
yes, absolutely.
Our family's making a podcast about bringing Bettina home called Bringing Home Bebe. You can find it on Apple and Spotify and all that stuff. We're only two episodes into it now, but there will be three more episodes coming. And we basically kind of go through the details of the whole adoption process, because people ask so often. I mean, I'm sure you have this experience too. They want to know the nitty gritty. And so we went through sort of the emotional roller coaster of it and plan to do that in 5 episodes. So you can find out more about that. But one of the episodes, we dive into this issue, you know, in a little bit more detail about John not getting to come home. I think it's the second episode. And basically the gist of it was that he became unadoptable because of some of his actions and behavior. The agency we were working with didn't allow us to pursue adopting him anymore. But those things came about because the adoption delayed so long. I mean, honestly, had he come home sooner, when he was younger, we started adopting him. He was 2 years old. So he hadn't developed some of those patterns that ultimately made him unadoptable. So there's some way you could look at that. We could look at that and be, you know, angry with the Lord, angry with Haiti, angry with the process, angry with anybody, you know, whoever. I think for us, it was the best thing to do, was just to say, this is the Lord's providence for our family and for John. And we trust that whatever's going on in John's life, the Lord has control over that. And so, but it was a hard process. It felt like the loss of a child. You know, we've never lost a child to death, but I imagine it was pretty similar to what we experienced.
Well, I love in your podcast, the ones that you have released, and we'll add a link to that in our show notes so everyone can enjoy hearing the story. You're incredibly transparent, and, you know, I love that about it. But you went through a time trying to fundraise, and I know the Lord just did some amazing things for you all, but community kind of rallied around you, but you had some days that didn't go so well. So, yeah, I love the story, Jennifer, of the chicken. So tell us about some things you guys did to fundraise. I know a lot of people are doing T-shirts now and, you know, sharing at churches and in their communities trying to raise money. But that's a hard place for a lot of families. And it was for us, too. Like, we had to do hard manual labor to get the money together to fund adoption for our family. What I'm saying is, just honestly, we didn't have chunks of money sitting around. And so ours came in a little at a time. But how did you see the Lord kind of bring all that together for you guys?
We had decided in the very beginning, we had just finished like a Dave Ramsey class. And so we had decided that we were going to do this without taking out any debt. And so we were just going to fully rely on the Lord giving us fundraiser ideas and providing through those. And so we had, you know, tracked out a few fundraisers. T-shirts fundraisers are way easier than barbecue chicken fundraisers. And too bad we didn't have that idea. But yeah, Clint decided to do a barbecue chicken fundraiser as our very first one. And, you know, he just spent all day cooking. And it was like a mixture of barbecue chicken and a car wash. And so the kids were out holding signs and helping wash cars. And Clint was cooking chicken on this big, like, trailer grill thing. And honey, how'd that go?
Oh, well, it didn't go great. It seemed fun, but it turns out that I wasn't very good at cooking chicken, and I undercooked basically all of the chicken. And so so people didn't get sick, but we didn't hear of anybody getting sick, but nobody, but people dug into their chicken to find like cold centers, you know. And is, you know, because everybody knew it was a fundraiser and they knew what we were doing, nobody said to me, hey, the chicken's frozen. So I went through the whole day just cooking the chicken the same way and thinking I was serving great chicken, and to find out then later that everyone had the same experience of having eaten the chicken that was frozen in the middle. And it was definitely a learning lesson and humbling, but we served like I don't even know. I know it was $800 worth of chicken meals.
Oh my goodness.
And so fortunately nobody got sick, but it was a lesson learned to us. And I remember at the end of that just feeling like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
we were trying to raise 30 grand. And so we did this whole process and raised $800, take away the expenses of $300, we made $500. And I was just thinking, we're going to have to do this 59 more times.
That's not happening. Yeah.
And yeah, no, I just knew that was the first time where it was like the wind was knocked out of our sails, or at least my sails, for the whole thing. I mean, it was funny. We got together that night to count all the money, and we counted $800, and the kids were so excited. Jennifer was excited, and I was distraught. You know, I was like, this is not going to do it. This is not going to get us to the finish line. But to your point, God, it's just so miraculously, and again, we tell the story in Bringing Home Bebe, but God so miraculously just gave a stranger from nowhere that just happened upon us on Facebook, and he gave us $10,000, and it was an emotional game changer for us. You know, it was like, to me, it felt like a very personal gift from the Lord, where he said, you know, your efforts are good. Make effort, but I got this, so to speak, you know. And so it was a very encouraging time.
You know, I remember seeing Kevin. I guess I love your story so much because it just brings back so many memories. Our kids were younger, like middle school and younger, and we were trying to bring home Libby from China. And so we had some friends that said, hey, why don't we just flip a house? You know, like we were in Louisville. So we, and the Lord was just so gracious to us. We take the kids over there, you know, we'd give them all little jobs to do, and we scraped together money and we bought this house. This lady had passed away. We knew that we could sell it, and we freshened it up and just decorated it. And then it got to be more than we bargained for, like the frozen chickens. And, you know, I remember Kevin getting up to preach. Like we had a Saturday night service at the time. So really, we only had one day off, really Fridays, you know. And so I remember him getting up to preach those weekends, and he would be speaking with his hands, you know, just teaching through God's words, and his hands would just be so bloody, just so cut up. And I remember at that point, guys, it just hit me like, Lord, we really, really are trying to be faithful to you, but this is really hard. You know, yeah. Like our whole family's working together and it's really hard. And $30,000, ours was the same at the time. It was like a million to me. Did you feel that way? It was just overwhelming to me.
Yeah, we did feel that way. We absolutely did.
And it just seemed like it was just bigger than what we could handle. But just seeing him, Jennifer, did the money just start coming in? I know you got one big, you know, blessing of a check. That didn't cover it all. It helped you move forward. Did the Lord just bring it in a little at a time?
He did. We got that. We needed that.
Yes.
That big encouragement, confirmation, like, yes, I called you to this. Yes, I'm going to provide. Here's a reminder. But then, yeah, every time we needed to pay the next little chunk, he provided in different ways, whether it was through somebody at our church who just like felt the Lord calling them to give us money, or in other ways. Every little time we had to make the next payment, he provided it. And so
also one of the things, like when I look back again, we're a year past the adoption now. Bettina's been home for over a year, and looking back, we thought we were getting into a 2-year adoption process that would cost $30,000 to adopt 2 children. We ended up being in a 9-year adoption process that cost $60,000 to adopt 1 child. And I look back at that and go,
wow.
Whoa. Like if the Lord would have allowed me to see that or know that, I never would have had the faith to step into what we did. But it was manna for the day. I mean, every single day he provided what we needed for that day. And sometimes he was providing emotional support for us, or he was encouraging Jennifer when I was discouraged, or vice versa, and allowing us to encourage one another to keep on keeping on, you know. But that whole I look back now, it's like, man, that $10,000 gift we got in the first few weeks was not the largest gift we got. Later, we got other gifts larger than that. But that happened all the way through the adoption journey up to the very last moment. And I know after Bettina got home and we were settling everything out, and I went back and tallied everything, what we spent, what came in, and it was almost to the dollar. Almost. I mean, it was like we spent maybe a total of, you know, $800 or $1,000 on the adoption when it was all said and done, from our personal money, the amount of money that came in from partners, friends, supporters, coworkers, whatever, and the amount that it cost us. It's just amazing to think about how the Lord provided all of that along the way.
It really is, Clint. It's a miracle, because when the Lord calls out just folks like us who are working hard and paying our bills and not, you know, not from wealth, it is a miracle how he does that. And I so many times would pray, Lord, you own it all. So I'm going to trust you. Like you said, manna from heaven. I'm just going to trust you for what we need for today. That was one of the biggest lessons for me. So, I don't think I would have learned it any other way. But Gina's how old now?
She's 14.
Wow. And so you really saw your community, what I'm hearing you say, your church kind of rally around you, give you a lot of grace over frozen chicken. I don't know. I just keep laughing at that story because I can just see myself, Kevin and I, going through that. And I appreciate you sharing it. But just seeing now, like Clint, you said manna from heaven. And I want to make a point, too, that when you get home and start learning to grow together as a family, you start to bond together, learn how to do that daily dance together of becoming a family. It's still daily provision from the Lord. Have you guys seen that? Like what we need for today?
I have. I mean, so she's, Bettina's been with us now for, she came home the week COVID started. She came home on March 23rd. So the week after COVID started. And so I actually flew to Haiti to pick her up when the airports were shutting down. From the time I took off in the U.S. and landed in Haiti, they had shut down Haitian air travel. And so I got there to find out I was going to be there a while. And then she came home. She's not known our context without COVID, you know. So that was a whole nother, that's a whole nother conversation in itself. But one of the graces in that is that we had all this incredible time to get to know each other. And she's a like full of life gal. I mean, but she's also guarded and mm-hmm. cautious. And so she listened and observed for a year, basically, and didn't really start talking very much. She would speak when spoken to, but she didn't have anything extra to say. She didn't disclose anything about her life or her past. And that was a long year, you know, especially a COVID year where we're home together all the time. It was a long year where we wanted to just shake her and say, tell us something about yourself.
Yes.
But she just didn't. And it's very fresh. Last night, I had the best conversation with her I've had.
Wonderful.
It's been great. It hasn't been drama filled at all. I mean, it's been great. And she has, but she just, for the first time last night, I felt really comfortable. We were alone in the car together and she just, you know, was able to kind of say some things she'd been thinking about to me. And we talked about her family and her history and her adoption. And it was like this deluge of, you know, conversation that I had wanted to have, but I didn't want to push her and press her to have. So anyway, I just, the patience of waiting through that. And that's been, you know, something we've had to talk to ourselves about too. And Jennifer and I will, you know, debrief from the day and say, what'd you hear from her today? Or what'd you pick up today? And we try to like place these little tidbits together. But it's just not nearly as good as her just sharing her heart with us, you know.
Oh, I always say shoulder to shoulder, riding with a teen in a car is sometimes the best conversations.
Oh, you're not kidding. You don't have to look him in the eye. It's
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And Jennifer, I think that, I don't know, you'll see too, you know, just having that mom-daughter relationship, as her memories begin to come more clearly in her mind, she will need help kind of learning to process that and put the pieces together, because we know from trauma that memory is fragmented. And so it takes years. And, you know, I didn't know that beforehand. And especially adopting one of ours who was 12 when one of our children came home, it takes a long time for those pieces to kind of come together and to make sense of it. And then to, you know, to really use that time, try to use that, what the Lord reveals to them and what the things they remember, to show how the Lord was protecting them. And I don't know, it's years of a journey, and it's not a quick fix. You know, it's not really a fix at all. It's just us just walking alongside them as they begin to kind of put the pieces together. And I love that. But driving in the car shoulder to shoulder has always been the best thing in our house. Yeah. It really has.
It's really good to think more about it instead of thinking, okay, we're doing this adoption, now they're home, oh, it's over. It's really a long game. Like, you're in it for the long run. Yeah. Like, there's so much healing that has to happen. Even once, it's not, the healing doesn't happen like they come home. Like, there's years worth of stuff that's going to happen because mm-hmm. they're young. I mean, she's a teenager. And so there's a lot of stuff that has to be processed and figured out, and she's getting to do that in a place where there's family and, you know, people to walk alongside with her. And when she does feel comfortable asking a question or trying to process it out loud, like, we can do that with her and help her do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's such a wise point, because it's just a very long healing process, because healing for all of us is a process. I mean, the Lord's still discipling me and showing me new things in my life. And he reminds me of that when I get frustrated with trauma or I get down and discouraged. He reminds me of that over and over. Well, Wheela, I know it couldn't have been that terrible, because you guys are going to do this again, right?
That's right.
So where are you headed now?
So we are going to, we are attempting to adopt an infant from Puerto Rico.
Oh, your kids, that child's going to have more moms than dads that's going to know what to do with.
I know.
Well, I know the kids are excited, and you are jumping into that new program there in Puerto Rico, and it's just been a blessing for Sin Relief to be able to get into Puerto Rico and build the children's homes and be able to minister to families there. And we appreciate you all jumping in and just trusting the Lord with that process.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. Your team there, Javier, and the rest of the team over there have been great
to
work
with.
So encouraging. And,
yeah.
And yeah, we're excited about it being domestic, because it's, you know, it's got obviously an international feel, but it's a domestic, it doesn't have the complications of a domestic adoption, or an international adoption. So we're excited about, you know, having less paperwork, less red tape in the process, and doing this in conjunction with the North American Mission Board is exciting too, to be able to have that NAM have been such a big part of our life and our journey together, and then for us to be able to do this with NAM is really, really encouraging and exciting for us.
Well, I'm excited to watch it. My heart is so in Puerto Rico, and getting our people there trained to minister to families so they can see reunification, and seeing children age out at 14 in Puerto Rico. And that's not the time to put someone on the streets. And so we are really trying to turn the tide against that and asking the Lord for more resources and help and just mentors, you know, to work with our all the way from our babies to our teens there. So we are really grateful for families like you guys. But, you know, if I don't know if you could think of some things, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if we have families, we'll have families listening that are beginning this process, that are really feel led maybe to foster care or to adoption, but to open their home to the vulnerable and to open their home to a child. Well, you have a few things, Clint and Jennifer, you'd like to share with them as we close.
The thing that comes to mind when you ask me that question is that, you know, anytime you start something new, you don't know how to do it. You're completely disoriented about how to do it. So you kind of have to poke around for a while before you get on a track. And so I think a lot of people give up in that part of the process. Like they think, oh, I could do this. I could be a foster parent, or I could be an adoptive parent. I have room in my home and in my heart for more kids, but I don't know how to get started. Mm. And so they maybe will like go to a website or check a few things out, but then they just don't know what to do to move forward. So they stall out right there. And so in my experience, especially in our church, we've seen our churches really in the last few years come alive to this adoption and foster care. And many families are doing that. And actually the even extended family of our church has planted a bunch of other churches. So many of the families have now adopted or are fostering. It's like we have this community of all these foster and adopted kids from everywhere. So it's just beautiful. But a lot of that has happened because we've been able to encourage one another and share with one another and to help people get on a track that works for them and their family. And so I would just encourage you, if you're in that spot where you're like, yeah, I have room in my heart and home for a kid, but I don't know where how to get started, I just want you to know that you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to knock on doors, ask questions until you get on a path that feels like it works for you and your family. And so you can Google, but that's not going to solve all the problems. You got to talk to adoptive families. You got to take references and call people and have meetings. And at some point it'll feel like, okay, we found something that's going to work for us, but don't give up on the process.
I would also say that, once you have committed and you're signed up and you're taking the classes and, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, find the family that has adopted or has fostered. Like, there, you should know going into it, there's going to be hard days. Like, that's a given. That's pretty much the only thing that's a given, is that there are going to be hard days ahead. And you should just understand that ahead of time. And don't be afraid to ask for help, because you're going to need help. You're going to, even if it's just you spewing words to somebody who's been in your position, and they can just listen and then pray And so don't be afraid to ask for help, because you're going to need encouragement. You're going to need somebody to bring you dinner one night because you've just had that kind of day. And yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, I think that was me. I thought, oh, I don't, you know, I was a pastor's wife, and Kevin was, you know, we were so busy with our church, and I just didn't want to bother people, and I really erred on that side. And Jennifer, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, you guys, I just, we'll have to have you back, and you'll share your update with us as the Lord adds number 6 to your home. What are you people thinking? 6 kids? I know. But I remember one day cleaning out my van, and people would just kind of go slow on the street, thinking, what, does she have clowns in there? Like, people just kept coming out of our van one day. But we're right there with you, and we want to just finish this well, stand before the Lord and say, well done, good and faithful servant. But I tell you, I wouldn't trade anything in this world for knowing these precious souls the Lord's added to our home, because they are some of the most precious, incredible people I've ever met. And we have had some really hard times and really trudged through some really deep traumas. But it has just been a blessing to my life to know these people. And I'm so grateful that you guys are getting that opportunity as well with Bacina and with the children the Lord's going to add to your home. So thank you, friends. Thank you for being with us today, for sharing from your hearts and just helping others who are listening.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks, Clint. I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.